is professional wrestler and former Ring of Honor Pure Wrestling Champion Hurricane John Walters, and you're listening to the Ring of Honor Review.
Hello, and welcome to the ROH Review. I am three-time pro wrestling author Oliver Newman.
And I'm pro wrestling journalist Stephen Jackson.
How you doing today?
Yeah, turbulent week. Sorry I missed out on last week as well. I was looking forward to talking with you about Ring of Honor after we missed the week before. And, you know, it's bizarre times, not just in the world of wrestling, but overall. You know, and I just hope all the listeners who are out there, I hope you're all safe. I hope you're all socially distancing yourselves. If you are, you know, we are.
Oh, yeah. We are.
Yeah. So I hope you're all just keeping yourself safe, listening to the advice given by either, you know, the news or the, if you're working, by your employers or by your family, whichever, or the doctors. And we just hope that you enjoy listening to the next episode of the Ring of Honor Review.
So first up, since it was recently his birthday, and I picked this one out, the star spotlight shines brightly on the Villain Enterprises, Brody King. Stephen, do your magic. It's 5 minutes on the clock. Go.
Hey. So, yeah, so Brody King, with me and Oliver have both given Brody huge praise over the time we've been recording the show. For those of you who want to know, he signed up with Ring of Honor at the start, the end of 2018, start of 2019 exclusively with the company. And then from there formed Villain Enterprises with Marty Scurll and PCO and formed a trio just before Flip Gordon joined as well, to form the stable they are now. Fantastic wrestling. I mean, Brody King, we've praised him so much, but in terms of the tag team style and the tag team ability he has, they just ruled the tag, or they still do rule the tag team divisions, both in, you know, traditional tags and in six-man tag matches. He went on to win the 2019 Tag Wars tournament, and then he won the Ring of Honor tag titles with PCO at the 17th anniversary show. And then from there, he went to win the NWA World Champion Tag Team Championships as well, which is a massive achievement for a team which has not been around for, you know, years and years. For only 6 months to achieve all that in such a short space of time is, you know, incredible.
Was that at the Crockett Cup?
Yeah, the Crockett Cup. They won that. Great show as well. Great show overall. Really showed what they're able to do. Had a great showing as well at the G1 Supercard, which we mentioned in passing as well. And he actually, with it, became a double champion within the space of 24 hours, because he not only won the traditional tag titles, but then with Matt Skirl and PCO, they won the six-man Ring of Honor six-man tag team championships as well. So lots of gold around the waist of Villain Enterprises and Brody King. And it really helped his stock then from there. I mean, 2019, he was, if you follow his Twitter feed and his social media feed, he was wrestling over in Japan. He was wrestling over in Australia. He had a really strong year of, you know, international wrestling. Came over to the UK with Ring of Honor as well. And his actual style is wonderful. You know, it's such a great hybrid of the hard bully, sort of hard-hitting indie style, you know, where it's kind of very quirky and very sort of smash mouth, but then he's able to do strong these incredible style. Yeah, strong style, yeah. And then he's able to just incorporate all of these luchador and Mexican lucha libre inspired maneuvers as well, and the speed what he travels at and the maneuvers he's able to do were just breathtaking. I mean, that six-man match what he had, sorry, that eight-man match what Villain Enterprises had with the four luchadors that was on the TV show. I mean, you can go back
Dearborn,
and listen to our
Michigan.
Yeah, Dearborn, Michigan.
Never forget that place. Love it.
That just shows, if you want to see what Brody King can deliver in a tag team match, excuse me, that's a good place to start, and you can hear our thoughts on that match. But yeah, I mean, excellent wrestler. He's got a really strong, bright future ahead of him, whether he'd be wrestling in singles matches or in tag team matches. He's a fantastic part of Villain Enterprises. He brings everything. I mean, if you look at Villain Enterprises, I kind of would compare them in a way to the Fabulous Freebirds. And I would say that Brody King is very similar to Terry Gordy in that the stuff, what he's able to do in the ring, it takes you by surprise. You would think he would just be power, but he's got agility. And yeah, love Brody King. Happy birthday for the other day as well. Happy birthday. I hope you're keeping yourself safe wherever you may be. And just have a bright future ahead of you. And can't wait to see what comes from, you know, the future in wrestling. I mean, we can't really say this year just yet because of what's happening in the world, but I really expect great things to come from Brody King going forward. I love Villain Enterprises. So that's Brody King in the nutshell. And how about yourself, Oliver, if there's any time left?
Yeah, with 20 seconds to go. This is going to be quick. Yeah, like we said on the G1 Supercard, I think PCO and Brody King should have won both the ROH World Tag Team titles and the IWGP World Tag Team titles as well. That probably was a missed opportunity considering how good they were in the match. Dearborn, Michigan for the Villains versus the Rudos. I remember that clear as day. Love that place. Going to visit it one day just for the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Not in the current climate, but, you know, one day. Yeah, everything you've said. The strong style aspect of things, when you think about that now, that really got, you know, that really gets you excited for that Homicide matchup, past versus present.
Yeah.
That's hopefully been postponed. We don't want it to be cancelled because, you know, we want to see that sometime. Just blown away. Does the strong style fantastically. Does the Lucha Libre style fantastically. Can tech wrestle. He can do it all. And it was, you know, it was really cool what they were seemingly building up to with PCO as the world champion, with the different Villain Enterprises, you know, stablemates all trying to get that title shot.
Yeah.
And it would have been really, really cool storylines and to see where that would have gone if PCO had remained the champion. That's not the case. So, yeah, definitely see an ROH World title running him in the future, for sure. Excuse me, definitely a TV title run as well. He's, yeah, we can see him being a Grand Slam champion, definitely. One of the best. Do you know how many pounds he weighs and stuff? And in terms of me saying he's best, one of the best big man.
90, I think, is around that. If off the top of my head, not looking on my trusty laptop, I think around the 290 mark, maybe.
One of the best big men in the business currently. Yeah. And like you said, Stephen, happy birthday for the other day. That just come up in our feed and was like, okay, star spotlights him, throwback is another guy. And, kind of work our way from there. Okay, so the news is few and far between, but, we've got a couple of things to cover. All ROH events have been cancelled through to the 31st of May, which is yours truly's birthday. So if they did an event on that day, it would be pretty cool. First time since 2003 at Do or Die. Honor Club subscribers have got an extra 90 days from the 1st of April 2020 to their memberships, which is really good of ROH. We applaud you for that. Yeah, ROH archives are being heavily promoted across at least the Twitter, social media. Coming very soon, Matt Taven has advertised this. Now Mark Haskins has advertised it as well. I'm hoping with this, though, that the ROH archives are not from this current rosters, kind of where we are now. I want it to be the back catalogue from 2002. I want it to be everything, but I want it, if it's got to start somewhere, I want the end of 2002 until they've you know, released so much. But just looking at the ROH app, the Honor Club app today, the All In's been added. I'm not sure if that was there before. The 17th anniversary show is there as well. So check out your ROH Honor Club app. And there has been things just, you know, just being recently added. So they are making progress on that. And that is your news. Okay, so next, Matt. Next up is our Future of Honor match, this time with Elijah Evans against Joe Keys. So 5 minutes on the clock. Loved the pre-match promos. Joe Keys, you know, looking cool as anything backstage. I don't advocate smoking because I don't do it, but still pretty cool. And him finishing up with Keys success was a really good tagline. I like that a lot. Called himself Mr. Swipe Right. Was really cool in today's day and age with like dating apps and things of that nature. So yeah, cool promo. Love the dojo setup, which we've said before. Joe Dombrowski on commentary is perfect in this role. This is a good match. I was thinking possibly the wrong winner. I think Joe Keys, as a character, got himself across more than Elijah Evans, and I would have probably changed the result of the match. And yeah, it just, you know, just got me thinking with this, and this is complete and not a fantasy booking and stuff. But what about a Future of Honor stable in ROH with someone at the head of the, you know, the stable, whoever that may be, and just taking guys who are kind of fighting, but there's no rhyme or reason to it. And just like a Dak Draper and, you know, I don't know, two or three other guys to like a four group stable or whatever. Much like Generation Next in 2004. And I think because there's something missing, like we said in that Dragon Lee match against Dak Draper, sorry. There is something missing for him to take him to the next level.
Yeah.
So if he was a part of a group, would that be what he needs? And that was just something I keep on thinking. I'm like, it's just, you know, thinking of who to put in the stable. Dak Draper would definitely be number one. I was thinking the Mecca Brian Johnson, but he's kind of cultivated his own character and he's fine with PJ Black and on his own. But, yeah, Dak Draper, three other guys. Then they've got to, you know, to kind of try and take over our weight. We're sick of waiting around. We're called the future. The future is now. And then they attack, try and win all the titles, much like Generation Next.
And
that's just my thinking. I'm not sure who the other guys would be. I might throw that to you, Stephen. But, yeah, so just over 2 minutes left. What were your thoughts on this match? And how about my fantasy booking idea?
I think
talk about the match first and then fantasy booking.
Again, thought it was really fun stuff. As you said, I thought the pre-match promos were good. I thought Joe Keys really leapt from the screen. I like his look as well. I like that kind of, like I said, I like this kind of retro 80s sort of look what a few wrestlers are going for. I think it really works. I think that Elijah Evans definitely was, Joe Keys looked a lot more polished. If I'm being really critical and stuff, not said, but I mean, I feel that Joe Keys could definitely come onto the roster now. I think he has a lot of potential. I really did like, though, the Elijah Evans when he delivered the Blue Thunder Bomb.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a really nice move because that was not necessarily something I expected to see.
Especially in a, you know, a dojo, Future Honor match. I think, sorry to cut you off for a second,
that's okay.
But what you say, I think in terms of the maneuvers and stuff, he's got them down.
Yeah.
It's just there's something missing. I don't think you can just be a fiery babyface anymore. There has to be more to you. You know, when he was saying, I'm just glad to be here, it's like, okay, that's cool. Now go out there and prove you deserve to be here.
Yeah.
And he did in the match, but I wasn't feeling the character. And that seems to be imperative nowadays. So, back to yourself.
He reminded me a lot of sort of when I first started watching Caprice Coleman in Ring of Honor back in, well, regularly in Ring of Honor in 2011, where I felt he was really, really good and he had some great athleticism, but he didn't connect with me the same way as sort of Cedric Alexander, who's now in WWE. But I thought it was, for both men, I thought they should, again, put on a really great showing. I love the dojo setup. You know, I think it's great. Joe Dombrowski is great on commentary. He's able to get these guys over brilliantly. I really liked the fact as well, as we said before, it's cool seeing all the other... cool seeing all the other wrestlers around the ring. And I really like as well that they subtly hint towards the Code of Honor as well. So we did see the handshake at the end, which surprised me because I didn't expect Joe Keys to adhere to the Code of Honor, but he actually did. So that was a bit of a surprise. But yeah, I thought this was real. Again, wasn't a bad match at all. I thought it was really, really good. It's just that I feel like you, that Joe Keys definitely, from a fan perspective, watching it, a viewer's perspective.
From a fan perspective.
he definitely came out a lot more to me, or reached out a lot more to me than Elijah Evans. But again, two great guys, great fun match, short, sweet, did what it needed to do, and can't wait to see more from both guys and see how they progress through Future of Honor. And in regard to the stable idea, I think that's a really great idea. I think there's a lot of guys down there who are ready to be in the company, and I think they're ready to get that opportunity. I think there are very few who've been able to successfully go through the and by successfully, I mean go from the dojo and create their own character and then progress up the ladder. I think Brian Johnson is one of the exceptions, with Rectitus and Cheeseburger. So I think it'll be a really good opportunity.
And Dak Draper. I'm just thinking to who wants it? I've said about the Ruthless Aggression series on WWE Network and stuff, and people might think that's a tangent. What's he saying? Well, Vince McMahon's like there and he's saying, well, show me some Ruthless Aggression. Who wants it? And in these matches, we're seeing matches. And in the company, when you go up until to the main card, you're seeing matches.
Yeah.
Well, where's the urgency? Who wants the ROH World title? Does Dak Draper want it? Does he? You don't know, do you? You just watch your matches, and obviously with a TV title match against Dragon Lee, you're like, there is something missing.
Yeah.
Well, there's something missing. He's, you know, we've said about him being like Dominik Dijakovic. He could probably be compared to being Diesel in WWF way back in the day, more technically proficient and stuff, but big guy. And then you might have a character like you said about Joe Keys, but I haven't seen enough of him to say that he's worthy of a spot in the stable. But then one of the guys is jumping off my tongue, and it's not necessarily because I've interviewed him and that is to come, but Shaheem Ali, if he had a shade in ROH, from that Dak Draper match, he looked like he had the keys to the castle, and he's hungry. He wants it. So put him in there too. And then, you know, we got two other spaces, and it would have been the Mecca Brian Johnson, 100 million percent, if his character wasn't sorted, but he is. So, and will he's not going to trust other people. He barely trusts PJ Black. Like I said, you're big guy. So you're Roderick Strong, he's Dak Draper, for example. Yeah. You need your Austin Aries, your Alex Shelley, and your Jack Evans.
Yeah,
and we've got to try and figure that out. But and this as well. This is really strange for me, unless I completely miss this, and it is a tangent and whatever. But we're in isolation, so who cares? Okay, Chris Sabin in Generation Next. That's what keeps on getting said. Was it? He wasn't in Generation Next, was he?
No.
So I just wanted to because I was 100% sure that didn't happen. Okay, so this is the last part of Free Enterprise. We will call this episode, probably the ROH review, something about the last part of the Enterprise. So, just talking about things in this show. Quick highlights of how the ROH World Tag Team Champions come to be. So this was the ROH World Tag Team Titles match from Final Battle 2019. Mark and Jay the Briscoes versus the franchise of ROH, Jay Lethal, and one of Steven's many favourite wrestlers, the Foundation, Jonathan Gresham. Tag title change from Nefarious Means. And they've been the tag team champions ever since. And next up is in full, one of the best battle royals in a long time. Watching this back, we loved it at the time because of the ending, basically. But watching this back, I adore this battle royal. Battle royal for the future ROH World title shot. So just my notes quickly before I throw it to yourself. Blue Meanie was in it. Maria Manic made it a person battle royal as opposed to just a 20-man battle royal. Gangrel was there as well, which was fantastic. Dragon Lee was there, even though he had a booking in Japan the night before. So, Delirious was there. Danhausen, Oliver and Steven's favourite wrestler, Housen. Crowbar from WCW fame and a few ROH appearances. So Dak Draper, we'd spoken about in our Future of Honor stable, was on fire in this match. He eliminated Gangrel, LSG, Eli Isom, Crowbar, Cheeseburger, then eliminates Dak Draper. See, I managed to get all the notes for this. It was amazing for me as well. I never thought I could do it. Mean dance between the bouncers and Blue Meanie until the Mecca, Brian Johnson, Oliver's favourite wrestler that Steven hasn't already got, probably. although he'll say it's one of his favourite wrestlers now. The Mecca, Brian Johnson, eliminates Blue Meanie. PJ Black and the Mecca, Brian Johnson, again, work well together. Just as I was saying that, the Mecca, Brian Johnson, eliminates PJ Black, his tag team partner. Manic eliminates PJ, the Mecca, Brian Johnson. Manic then eliminates both of the bouncers, Brian Milanos and the Beer City Bruiser. Bully Ray comes out, which I'm sure will bring your ire up. He eliminates Maria Manic, puts her for a table. Danhausen eliminates Delirious. That was quite a funny exchange. No swearing when Silas Young was going to curse, which is just brilliant. He'd be brilliant in the PG wrestling world, wouldn't he? Two guys, one tag, then eliminate Cheeseburger, who did really well in this battle royal. Then they eliminate Hot Sauce Tracy Williams. Then it was really quick towards the end. So hopefully I got this correct. Woods eliminates Young by accident. Kenny King, who'd been out since the beginning but still in the match, then eliminates Woods. Dragon Lee on masks, amazingly. And this was Villain Enterprises, the mercenary Flip Gordon, which was just brilliant. He shook up Kenny King. He ran at Flip Gordon. He ducked under and he eliminated Kenny King. And Flip Gordon wins the battle royal and becomes the new number one contender. And I guess I'm feeling a bit breathless here, but this was great on the night, obviously. The earlier time here in the UK really helped. And watching this back, it is seriously one of the best battle royals I've seen for a long time. What did you think of this, Stephen?
I thought it was, at the time, I thought it was great. And watching it back again, it was great. It made for perfect viewing for a TV show as well as for a live audience. The amount of characters who were involved in the Battle Royal made it fun, but also just the way it was booked in terms of the creativity of having not just people being eliminated, but you had the little interactions between the different wrestlers as well, which I think really added to it, and the different layers of the feuds and the actual reveal of Flip Gordon from being Dragon Lee, very Dean Malenko being Cyclope in WCW. Slamboree, was it Slamboree, I think?
Slamboree, right?
Yeah, kind of thing where it really was, you could see it hark back to that, but it was such a great reveal and so well done. And yeah, I mean, I loved as well how if it harked back as well to the previous Battle Royal, which Kenny King had won, where he was actually in it the whole match and then he just came at the end and he thought he'd won. I thought that was really, but then he got someone already had his number, which was Flip Gordon, you know, Dragon, which we thought was Dragon Lee.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really clever little, you know, sort of play on that storyline as well, all that interaction. So really, really enjoyed this. Thought it was brilliant, brilliant Battle Royal. It was fantastic.
And what Stephen was referring to was the Honor Rumble from G1 Supercard.
Yeah.
Yes, Stephen, we are going to rebook that at some point in the future. keep on referring to it. And then Quinn McKay has an interview with Flip Gordon to announce his number one contender for the ROH World title at Supercard of Honor, which has currently been postponed. And then we move on to highlights of Session Moff Martina versus Sumi Sakai. And I think we give Session Moff Martina a hard time watching this back. No, I mean it wasn't bad. Her wrestling skill is there, but it's very character based. She was doing like Northern Light suplex. Her Jaeger bomb finisher is superb.
Yeah,
it's something I've never seen before. She is very character based, but as a wrestler, she gave enough in this match to say, you know, somebody to be taken seriously. And if you don't take me seriously, I'm going to beat you. And she beat Sumi Sakai, who's been, you know, amazing since the heel turn. So, yeah, I think we give her a hard time. But it's because ROH is very wrestling-centric and characters kind of throw us off.
Yeah.
But then we're saying about characters in this future of Honor Stable and in wrestling in general, but we're not happy with how Session Moff Martina is presented in ROH. So we're kind of contradicting ourselves a little bit there, Stephen. But watching this back, only highlights, obviously. But from what I saw, and I love Mandy Leon on commentary as well, I thought she was really good at getting across the fact that, you know, Session Moff Martina is a party girl and stuff, and saying she was drunk and what have you. But yeah, I think in second viewing, obviously, just highlights, but. We gave her a hard time on the free enterprise view, I think.
It was fun. Like I said, we all have different tastes. But I think what's good is you need variety is the spice of life, and it's good to have variety in a company. And again, on first showing, you may be your expectations are maybe because we've been conditioned as Ring of Honor fans to have these amazing, incredible, you know, technical masterpieces, but when someone comes along and they're a completely different character, as we saw as well with Danhausen, but it's a good thing, it's a refreshing thing. So I think maybe I was a bit, like you said, maybe I was being a bit harsh and sort of looking, you are right, maybe there was a bit of a contradiction there and things. So the jury's not out yet. I think, you know, we'll see how it pans out, but I'm definitely got a better perspective on it now than what I had when we first saw it.
Yeah. Firstly, I'm never wrong. And secondly, Danhausen's always watching Housen.
Yes.
So got to be careful what you say. And the next match up was the Proving Ground match, which was the main event of the show. Dan Maff and Jeff Cobb against the ROH World Tag Team Champions, the franchise of ROH, Jay Lethal, and, like I said before, one of Stephen's many favourite wrestlers, the Foundation, Jonathan Gresham. From this match, it wasn't the full match, so go and check this out on Honor Club. I had this as a really good tag team match. Hosses against technical wrestlers in Jay Lethal and Jonathan Gresham. The Hosses are Dan Maff and Jeff Cobb, in case someone's watching or listening for the very first time. Power and strength versus agility and technique. And yeah, just love the finish. Lethal going for, I guess, the lethal injection. And Dan Math catching him and giving him the burning hammer. Beautiful reversal. And Carbon Math win to secure a future Wedge World Tag Team title shot. What did you make of this match, Stephen?
I thought it was, at the time, I thought it was brilliant. Watching it again, I thought it was brilliant. Thought all four guys worked. A great chemistry between all four. They worked brilliantly. The finish, like you said, was awesome. Thought it was a really, really great way. I mean, Dan Math, he's just awesome. I mean, I'll get using that word, but he just hasn't missed a step, you know. And I think what I really like is that this match, when we're looking at matches which may have been a match of the night when we're watching, this was one of those ones where it had really stiff competition against it. But I don't know if I'd put it as my match of the night, but it was definitely my favourite match in the sense that it was the one I remember the most, enjoying the most in terms of what it set out to achieve. And it really was a great proving ground match, and it proved why I deserve to have a world tag title shot. Yeah, I love this though.
So one of the best moments in the match, because you're talking about stuff, was when Jeff Cobb was caught in the figure four leg lock.
Yeah.
And Math was on the outside with Gresham on his back.
Yeah.
And he came in and threw him onto just amazing power and strength by Math, and just a really cool way to break up a figure four leg lock as well. So
that selling of the figure four as well. I love the fact that the figure four for a long time, I think this is what WWE and TNA did for a long time, is they lost how vicious that move actually is. But with the way Jay Lethal and the way they play it out in the Ring of Honor ring, it's so much more aggressive and so much more sort of vicious. And you can really feel the pain. And Jeff Cobb did look like he was in absolute agony when he was in it. So I really like that as well, that it harks back to that old style of figure four where it can cripple you, basically. great stuff. Great stuff.
Fair point. Next up, we have the ROH throwback, which is between a man who has also celebrated his birthday recently, one of the most important wrestlers in ROH history, a one-time ROH world champion, a one-time ROH pure champion, even though he disrespected the belt on so many occasions. Think Tetsuhiro Naito with the IWGP Intercontinental title. And one of the longest reigning ROH world champions in history. One of probably the most important ROH world champion for a long time.
Yeah.
We are talking about Samoa Joe. And his opponent is the creator, if not the innovator, I think creator, of the Burning Hammer, which you've aforementioned in the previous match, and the Japanese legend who even managed to tap out cancer, the legendary Kenta Kobashi. And once this was on the 18th year anniversary celebration collection of Samoa Joe, I was like, gotta check this out again. So, first of all, no commentary, which is the best way to watch this match, with all due respect to the commentators, because it's all about the atmosphere. The commentary aspect of the match is still good. It's still, you know, good commentary, but it is all about the atmosphere. This is the best atmosphere in ROH history, bar none. The aura of Kobashi, the respect of Kobashi from the crowd who knew who he was, respected what he's done in professional wrestling, and just brilliant in that instance. The atmosphere is molten. Jay Lethal's there as Samoa Joe's prodigy, but corner man and all that, so that was pretty cool in terms of what's happening now. And the match, it was, given 5 stars and stuff. I think if I'm going to be a little bit negative towards it, it isn't really, I don't know, a blow for blow kind of match. It's a lot about Kobashi's chops, which are just rock solid. And the fact that he used to practice by chopping concrete tells you all about that. And the fact you wouldn't want to be anywhere near his chops. And yeah, two of the best heavyweights in the world at that time. Just a pure host battle, Japanese strong style, American strong style, clashing in a match in New York in October 2005, a month before I was able to see Kenta Kobashi live myself at Coventry Sky Domes for a Universal Uproar. So, yeah, he was on a tour of the world. And he didn't disappoint in any way, shape, or form. Yeah, just outstanding. What did you think of this match, Stephen?
Well, I mean, this is for those who Ring of Honor back in the day were looking at matches or seeing matches, what made the company special. I mean, this is one of those matches which is in the folklore of, or the mythology of the company. It's kind of,
this is probably the match, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Along with Joe versus Punk, this is probably the, I mean, when you search for Ring of Honor, Samoa Joe, this is the match what comes up. It's unlike any, when you watch this match as well, it's unlike anything else. Like you said, the atmosphere is unreal. The respect from the fans for Kenta Kobashi is unreal. The knowledge
of Kobashi.
Yeah, I'm about to say that the fact that I've read a lot about this match from an intrigue as being a fan of it. But a lot of the stuff what Samoa Joe was doing was harking back to his previous opponents, Kenta Kobashi. So there's a lot of things that hark to Misawa. There's a lot of things that hark to Toshiaki Kawada. There's things what hark to
Yo Nakayama. He was a part of that match at Universal.
Yeah. So there's a lot of similar things Samoa Joe was sort of paying tribute to in that particular match. But if you even take those elements out, the chops what Samoa Joe took from Kenta Kobashi lethal. The heat in that building as well, the amount of sweat what both men expelled was unreal. Like it was crazy. And it's a match which, if you want to learn about Ring of Honor and what Ring of Honor is about, it's a match which you need to see. Because what's interesting is that I think by one of a promotion, but I can't remember them off the top of my head, Ring of Honor are the only promotion which Samoa Joe, American promotion, sorry, the only American promotion Kenta Kobashi has wrestled for. And okay. He chose Samoa Joe beforehand as his opponent because of how successful he was being in the new United States at that point.
Yeah.
And this match proves how good Samoa Joe is/was. Mm-hmm. It's incredible.
5 minutes.
So definitely go out of your way and watch this. It's always a treat to go back and watch it with or without commentary.
Yeah,
I agree. You have to watch it without commentary there are more matches which should be without commentary because of how well this match came out. But this match really does benefit from no commentary because it just adds to the atmosphere.
Yeah.
But it's a war. It's a special match, and it's a match built on respect and the craft of wrestling at the end of the day.
Yeah. So
it's built on.
It's pro wrestling, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think in terms of how you can describe it, it's probably the heavyweight version of Joe versus Loki from Glory of Honor.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean,
it definitely, I think this one or two suiciders from Samoa Joe, and that's about it. The rest of it is, and I mean, a lot of people might watch it and be like, oh, why are they cheering for suplexes? Why are they cheering for? But it's more about what that suplex means and what that suplex, the force of the suplex, because it was very stiff. So Yeah, go out of your way and definitely go out of your way and watch this now. It's available for everyone to see. If you want to learn more about Ring of Honor, and just see something completely different to what you may have seen before, because it's nothing else compares to it. There's nothing. It's just a one-off match.
Absolutely.
Unique.
And this is on the R-Wedge YouTube, like I said, the 18th year celebration collection on the R-Wedge YouTube, and I think the first match on Samoa Joe's collection. So, yeah, go out of your way and watch this. Next up, we have what is becoming one of my favourite segments on the show, the Women of Honor. And this week, you know, she was undefeated at the time for, I think, a year. And she has been one of the longest reigning Women of Honor champions, Stephen.
Yeah, one of the longest reigning Women of Honor champions. Yeah.
Okay. We're talking about the gatekeeper, Kelly Klein. And in this match, she was going up against Thunder Kitty. First up, like I always do, me and Stephen have talked about how much Women of Honor should be shown on ROH shows or TV or any of that. 121,000 views. It's the kind of views I dream about with regards to my interviews. One day I'll get there. Scarlett Bordeaux is on ring announcing duties again. Ian Riccoboni's gone solo on commentary. I love Women of Honor. It's as simple as that. It is such a breath of fresh air to watch these women wrestle. It's mostly technical, which is up my street and up yours, Stephen.
Yeah.
Not swearing Danhausen wise, it's up your street. if I have to break that down, just in case anyone's thinking. Klein remains undefeated. Brilliant chokehold to finish it. And I love the fact that they wove in a storyline again, saying Bordeaux had been attacked by Kelly Klein, even though she wasn't a wrestler, because she is. And Bordeaux refused to announce Kelly Klein as the winner. And it made you want to watch the match between them, if there has been one since. So you have a really good match and a woven storyline there that makes you want to seek out another match. For me, Women of Honor is checked in all the boxes. It is, it's such a breath of fresh air. It's one of my favourite segments every week. I'm so glad that we added it because the wrestling's fantastic and the views are there. The people care about women's wrestling in ROH. And I guess for the booking issues, but there's been booking issues in the men's side of things. The fans out there care about women's wrestling, and We're so glad that we've added it. Another great addition to our Women of Honor viewings. What do you make of this, Stephen, with 2.5 minutes to go?
I thought this was another great, great Women of Honor match. I'm loving watching all of these. And, you know, the fact this took place in Chicago as well, strong. It took place in the Frontier Fieldhouse, Ring of Honor territory. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that really added that little layer of Ring of Honor to this as well. Thunder Kitty and Kelly Klein, the chemistry was on point. The reason I was so drawn to Kelly Klein originally is just because she was Shayna Baszler before Shayna Baszler. This is kind of a, in the sense that she wrestles like a MMA style to her, you know, to her work. Excuse me, very technical. You know, the choke to finish, hard strikes, no kind of emotion, very, you know, very cold looking, you know, goes there, gets the job done, leaves kind of situation, you know. Timothy Thatcher-esque in that regard, you know, where come in, go to work, go home kind of thing. And I like that. I think that's really refreshing, or it was. And Thunder Kitty as well was great in the sense that she's got a little bit more of a character to her. The crowd as well, I will say that this crowd were really into this. This crowd, you know, were, I mean, Chicago crowds are probably my favourite crowds to watch as a fan, you know, with regard to how they interact with the wrestlers. And they were there the whole way, you know, and they were loving this. And Ian Riccoboni on commentary as well, like we said every week, he's great. He's so good. I mean, we see him on the main show every week, but especially on these Women of Honor matches, he was where he sort of cut his teeth before being given the main show. You know, I wish he would. I don't think that's any disrespect to anyone. That's just kind of what he was, you know, given at the time. But he's great. You know, he's brilliant at everything he does. And he just, the whole presentation of Women of Honor is brilliant. And this match, again, I think what I like is that, again, it's a different kind of match to what we've seen in the previous Women of Honor matches.
Mm-hmm.
Very technical, very hard-hitting, very lots of interesting counters, and, like you said, that interesting weaving of the storyline into it as well, so we can see where that kind of goes in the future when we get round to different matches. Another great choice for people to go out and check out. And if people, and as we said, and I'm going to say this myself before we just finish off this segment, but we don't care about women's wrestling. Women's wrestling doesn't matter. Women's wrestling, 120,000 plus views on YouTube. That doesn't just happen. You know, this is something which people want to see and people enjoy. So, and where two more people who do. So, great. Exactly. Great stuff.
Yeah. 100%. And yeah, as we finish up episode 20 of the ROH review, for those keeping count, that's 5 months we've been at this. So November 2019 until current day. Yeah, we'll go and look at the views and the listens and update our social media on how many there have been since. But we was 10,000 4 months in, and we're doing really well. So very happy with that. First of all, really happy to be hosted by the brilliant Broken But Glorious team for their Twitter. The main hub is at BBG Wrestling. The main show podcast is at BBGW Pod, and the website is bbgwrestling.com. And yeah, next up we have yourself, Stephen.
Yeah, so I'm a member of the Wrestling Estate. You can find the Wrestling Estate on Twitter at the Wrestling EST. We're a website, wrestling website, where we cover all different aspects of the industry with news articles and reviews and previews of WWE, Impact Wrestling, Ring of Honor, which myself and Oliver obviously cover, New Japan. We also have a newsletter which goes out every Saturday, which you can sign up for on the website. And we also have a weekly roundtable each week, which each of the different members of the team get asked a series of questions, and then we all answer them for that particular week, and then they get uploaded, and then you can find out each different person's response.
Okay. And Broken But Glorious has a partnership with powerslam.tv. 6,500 plus hours of professional wrestling from 140 plus promotions. Enjoy that access, especially in these isolation times. We need all the wrestling we can get, I think. Streaming service on us for free for a month using the code BROKENFREE. For myself, I'm a free-time pro wrestling author. My first book is A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling. I mention this because ROH is mentioned in the book. I was at ROH Unified in 2006. I was in the same hotel as the ROH wrestlers in 2007. And I was at the Liverpool Double Shot in 2007 as well. Stephen owns a copy. Tell them how great it is, Stephen.
Oh, it's a brilliant book. Really, really enjoy it. Got some great matches I wish I'd have gone to be able to see as well.
Thank you. Money's in the post. The second book, which I'm always hesitant to talk about, but it has ROH alumni in it. So this is A Fan's Perspective, 2016, what a year to be a fan of WWE. If you want to find out what AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, etc. are up to, or they were up to in 2016, this is the book for you. And lastly, my third book, A Fan's Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare. I was at the Orlando Double Shot in 2008, and I took my modern-day favourite wrestler and ROH alumni, Paul London, fantasy booked him to the main event of WrestleMania. If you want to check how I did that, be sure to buy this book. All three books are available on paperback and Kindle via Amazon, free on Kindle Unlimited. And if you want a signed copy or signed copies, get in contact with me on afansperspective.bigcartel.com. Okay, so next up, lastly, is about our social media. So our Twitter is at ROH Review. Our Instagram is at ROH Review. Our YouTube is one of those that we have to put in the description. And Facebook is brand new, facebook.com/ROH Review 2019, because we were established in 2019. Excuse me. And our email for comments, questions, feedback at all is ROHReviewOutlook.com. And yeah, I think that's everything.
Just to say as well, just from looking on social media and things, thank you everyone for retweeting us. Thank you everyone for liking our stuff, what we've been putting up. Some of the comments have been great and we're so thankful. Some of the great feedback as well in terms of what we've been hearing has been wonderful. And, you know, I want to thank as well, I'm sure Oliver does, Fight TV. We've previously thanked them on the show before for their help with getting us things ready for, you know, upcoming shows like competitions, and just their actual help with, the show as well. Just their sort of helping to promote us. And, I just want to say thank you for that as well, because, you know, it means a lot that everyone is paying, you know, attention, and that you're enjoying what we're putting out there, you know. And that's why we're still here now doing it, especially in these dark times where, you know, we have got some interesting things, I'm sure Oliver will just say now, in the pipeline. But yeah, we just want to say thank you to everyone who, in these past few weeks, with everything being so difficult, are still, you know, coming to find us and retweet us and like us and subscribe. And yeah, it means a lot. So thank you.
But yeah, just to echo what you're saying about Fight TV, the free code giveaway, sending that out at the same time that I guess AEW Dynamite was on. They retweeted it as part of that, which added to our followers on Twitter. So that was amazing of Fight TV. The free code giveaway has been great as well. We love interacting with our fans and making their day by giving them a free code to watch an ROH show. So that's been pretty cool.
Absolutely.
You know, the retweets and likes from fans and ROH alumni or wrestlers or anyone has been fantastic. The 10,000 listens and the almost 500 views on YouTube as well, when we started on the 27th of January with the YouTube channel, has been fantastic. And yeah, just really appreciate all the support. This started with the you know, just being on a top 10 and a top 5 with me, Stephen, and our other colleague from Broken But Glorious, Chris Lappin, as the host. Then it was an idea that I had, spoke to Stephen, and, you know, we do the ROH Review every week. We've done previews of shows, reviews of shows. Now we're doing interviews with stars. It's really blown up in the 5 months that we've been doing it. It's absolutely fantastic. 10,000 listens at the 4 month mark. Looking forward to seeing how much it is now. I'm going to check that out. And yeah, just in terms of what we got coming up, part two with the one-time ROH Tag Team Champions, HG Loke and Tony DeVito Carnage Crew, is coming out this weekend. Not sure if me and you are doing anything before then, but we're always open to stuff with what's happening in the world. And ROH Review episode 21 next Monday. And I guess the audio of ROH Review 20 is going out tonight. The ROH Review episode 20 video is going out tomorrow night. And yeah, we'll just play it by ear in terms of what we're doing with the rest of the week. And yeah, hopefully you'll join us in audio and video form, and for the shows we got coming up, and until next Monday, unless we're doing something before, which is you know, we kind of live by the seat of our pants at the moment. So yeah, thank you very much, everyone.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, bye for now.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.